Hello and welcome to NL Full Time. With just 1 week of the regular season to go, it's the business end, listeners. And when you get to the business end, you've got to call in the experts. Oh, I'm setting him up for a fall now. Our special guest this week, welcoming back, I think the second time this season, but possibly pushing towards double figures overall across our 7 or 8 years as the NL Full Time podcast. It's Mr. Jeff Brazier. Good to see you, Jeff.
Hi, Rob. Yeah, when the experts aren't available, you can always rely on me.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for that. We, of course, have our very own resident expert as well, in Joe Pope, who I don't know where he finds the time. I like to think of myself as pretty much across all things National League. Joe, you somehow seem to cover all the EFL as well and the National League North and South. So welcome as ever.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for having me on. I'm actually doing my shortlist for step 3 to 5 of non-league as well, so you can add that to the list at the moment.
Oh, my goodness me. All right. Well, look, we're going to focus on the National League and the North and South a little bit later, but let us start with hearty congratulations to Yeovil Town, who for the third week running, I think we have a champion that we can announce. And Joe, if the listeners don't know already, you live in Yeovil. So high spirits in the town last night, I'm sure, celebrating, well, probably from Thursday onwards, in fact.
Yeah, it's good that you mentioned that. I just have to remind people that I am actually a Torquay fan, because I think people make the assumption now that I'm a Yeovil fan. But I am a Torquay fan. But yeah, it was a really good spirits. For all accounts, the team are out celebrating, as they should do, in the town. I didn't get woken up by any chance of Frank Nubel at 3 a.m. But yes, they celebrated long into the night, I'm told.
Okay, good stuff. Well, we're actually going to start our focus this weekend on the bottom end of the National League. We already knew, of course, for a month or so now that Oxford City would be just completing one season in the National League before dropping down to the South. And they were joined on Thursday night by a team who completed two huge seasons, really, of overachievement, according to manager and owner Mark White. But following a 4-2 defeat at Wealdstone on Thursday evening, despite taking a two-goal lead in that one in the second half, sadly, Dorking Wanderers stay, for now at least, is over. I caught up with the manager, Mark White, after the game.
We'll be doing more days next year. We'll be recruiting. We've already had a massive strategy that Ant Sheldon and John in particular are heading up, looking at lowering the player age, looking at how we can go to more days. And next week, we need to speak to the lads and see where they're at. And we also need to try and find that continuity, you know, so that's a difficult blend to get now, because you know, we know that South really well. I think it's fair to say it is not anywhere near as good as this league. We need to, whilst there's probably players that we wouldn't have kept for this league, that actually in the league below, is there any point moving them on? Because actually they'll be good enough to be in a promotion-winning team. So, yeah, I'll probably be having a few disputes with John and Dan Sheldon. And there'll be some conversation. We're looking to box them off really quickly. I want to have all the player chats before Hartlepool. I want to know where we are. We only intend to go forward. That's where it is.
This might be tough at this point, and I know we won't be getting too emotional about this situation, but takeouts from the two magnificent seasons in the National League, where, may I say, Dorking Wanderers have lit up the Vanarama National League. I mean, I'd obviously throw at you home victories against last year's promoted side, Notts County, and this year's champions, Chesterfield. Some wonderful moments.
It's incredible, yeah. It's the stuff dreams are made of, really, for the town, for me, for the staff at the club, the supporters. I mean, I went to watch Dorking as a boy, and they were playing Flackwell Heath, and, you know, it was thicker mud and 32 people there. And then this is the club that's come from, you know, no fans and building their own stadium twice and on a council field. And it's pinch-yourself stuff. it's, you know, it's never to be repeated. It's we you know, it's the sort of the world's biggest upward trajectory in football in a pyramid system. It's incredible. And to we've gone all over the country this year, even beat Halifax, Hartlepool, you know, some great victories, Notts County, Chesterfield. We've won over so many fans. We've just come up short. Come up short. And we've had a significant issue with injuries. We've matches missed for players is 260 in the season. So players' availability, we've lost 260 games. If it was The Apprentice and there was a failure in the task, I'm afraid to say I might have picked the odd wrong back three, back four. I might, you know, play it. Managers do that, right? But you can win leagues doing that. But it's very difficult to win leagues part-time and with, you know, missing so many players. But listen, we've the National League's been really welcoming. Clubs in the National League have been magnificent. We've had an unbelievable journey. And our appetite to get back there will just be increased.
That was Mark White, Jeff, and I'm sure you'll only add to that, really. We have to remind ourselves sometimes just where Dorking Wanderers have come from and the rapid rise of that football club. It's probably not too surprising that still as a part-time club, they haven't managed to stay in the league this year.
Yeah, first relegation for them in 25 years. It'll be quite an unusual feeling for those that have been attached to the club for such a long period of time. The question that, as an outsider, it makes me want to wonder is whether Mark, as a manager, felt like he'd reached his personal ceiling. They've been competitive, though, during the season. It's not like they were well out of it, you know, for long periods. Actually, you know, he might even sort of consider himself unlucky. And they've created some great memories this season, also some really strong results. So I don't think it necessarily does make anybody arrive at the feeling that's sort of him taking the club as far as he can as a manager. But I wonder if there ever would be a day, actually, where he would consider the club's fortunes to be better in somebody else's hands from a managerial point of view. But it sounds like he's planning on staying in the dugout, and I've no doubt they'll bounce back fairly quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Having listened to subsequent chats with Mark, I think his weekly update, his pre-match and his post-match from Rochdale, where incidentally Dorking got themselves a creditable 1-1 draw on Saturday. He said that if it was The Apprentice, the reason that they failed this task will primarily be the pitch, which has cost them around about 250 games in total that his players have missed over the course of this season. And certainly, Joe, he seems to be making reference in these interviews to the fact that Dorking Wanderers might well be ripping up that pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I said to you that I think it's probably something they should do, whether or not they get a rip it up and get a higher quality 3G pitch on there, given, you know, the benefits that having a 3G pitch has led Dorking to have, given, you know, the role it plays in the community. So, yeah, I think long term, well, certainly in the short term, he's got to try and rip that pitch up and get a better surface, because, you know, for as good as they have been, Dorking, you can't get promoted next season if you've got people missing 250 games across the season through injury, regardless of how good you are going forward. So,
fair enough. Just focusing on Wealdstone for a minute, of course, terrific come from behind win for them, gave them a much needed 3 points. I was at Grosvenor Vale and I felt that possibly at the time Wealdstone were over-celebrating that victory because they still had a lot to do. But Jeff, somehow, some way, they went and beat the champions, Chesterfield, 1-0 on Saturday. And they've given themselves a really good chance now of beating the drop.
Yeah, I think, you know, oddly, facing Chesterfield seems to be like the best thing you could hope for at this late stage of the season. I've heard they're not even training in the week. They're just sort of coming in on Fridays before match day. And, you know, because it's, I guess, what would you do if you won it and you won it, you know, in such style, then what would be the incentive and the motivation to carry on? You know, the level, don't get me wrong, all the fans will no doubt want to break 100 points. If they win both their games, they'll still do that. But I guess, yeah, you don't blame them for taking their foot off the gas. But I bet they're quite frustrated with their own performances, Chesterfield as well. Wildstone, I wanted to see David Noble do well. I'm a fan of his. I'm actually an old friend of his. And I love him as a manager. His interviews are incredibly charismatic. And he missed out, obviously, on promotion with St Albans narrowly last season. And then he got a chance in the National League. And I think maybe if his chance had come slightly earlier in the season, we might have seen a little bit more from his Wildstone side. But as it happens, look, I think it's Sam Cox or...
Yeah.
Stepped in and has obviously got the mindset right within the group. And so as a result, now they're back-to-back wins, and I wouldn't say they're out of it, but there's clubs in a worse position than them.
There certainly are, and one of those, sadly, for Phil Brown, is Kidderminster Harriers, or are Kidderminster Harriers. They sadly said goodbye to the National League as well after losing 1-0 at home to Eastleigh. Paul McCallum, inevitably on the score sheet again, his 35th goal in all competitions. That just about seals Eastleigh's safety as well. Jeff, Phil Brown undoubtedly did a sterling job coming in. I think they had 20 points, Kidderminster, before he came in, and it wasn't long before he doubled that points tally. But sadly, because of the finding of form of the likes of Ebbsfleet and Fylde, and those sides pulling away from danger, ultimately they couldn't get out of it still.
I think you're right. I think maybe, is it unusual that we would have so many teams with such an upturn in form towards the back end of the season? Usually one or two will always inevitably find their feet, and maybe sometimes there's a club in a slightly false position. When the pressure turns up a notch, they actually find the level that they should have been operating at. But quite a few clubs, I mean, even Fylde, for me, if you sort of search back 2 months ago, they looked like the side that were maybe most likely to go down, and they're sort of almost mid-table now. So, sadly for Kidderminster, because I think he only really faced 5 defeats in the 17 games that he's faced, and I think obviously 2 of those were the last 2. I was at the game that TNT showed. And, you know, they just bemoan their home form. For whatever reason, they literally can't do it in front of a home crowd. And they saw the Eastleigh game as potentially the one that might not help. You know, they felt more confident on the road. And I saw yesterday when they got what they thought was an equaliser, and when they saw the flag go up for offside, they were just absolutely floored by it. But, you know, they're a side that obviously come up. They were, I don't think that just because you come through the playoffs and you win all 3 games, and you don't necessarily look at the season as a gimme because you shouldn't have been there anyway. But they were such a strong team. But defensively, in terms of all those clean sheets that we saw, and you thought they were going to be competitive in that aspect. But just, you can't not score goals. You just can't not score goals in the National League.
And one side that scored a lot of goals in the last 5 matches, and have, to their huge credit and to Alan Devonshire's huge credit, have pulled completely away from trouble. Maidenhead United secured their status all bar mathematically in the week with a 3-1 win against Hartlepool. They came from behind to beat playoff chasers Gateshead on Saturday, securing that win with a relatively late goal. And so it's 4 wins in 5 for Dev. He's done it again. They just can't stop Devin people, Jeff.
No, I mean, he's got his way. Usually they just do enough, whereas this time they've done far more than they needed to. So, yeah, 4 in the last 5. They've obviously found some form. And I wonder if a Maidenhead will ever be that side that actually do start pushing on from what we know them to be, which is a side that will always consolidate their position in the National League. But, you know, when you look at the league, there's not many more points required from their season sally in order to put them in the conversation around a playoff position. You know, what's the difference? Is it that the budget needs to be up slightly, that there needs to be, you know, slightly better recruitment? You know, I'm not sure, but Maidenhead fans will sort of hope for that season that will come along that will make them feel like actually all of this groundwork has been leading to something.
Absolutely. Joe, just coming to you as well on Maidenhead. We scratch our heads every week and every season and wonder how he does it. But, you know, we were really struggling at the start of the season to find four clubs that might go down. It has ended up being a ridiculous battle to avoid relegation, hasn't it? But from how the league table looked, if we froze it 5 games ago, it didn't look good for Maidenhead. I think they were just one place outside of it. But now they've got a massive chance of finishing in the top half of the table.
Yeah, it's crazy, really. You know, you look at the league, and they're only actually 8 points off the playoffs. Just goes to show how good they've been of late. I think the thing which sums it up for me is how composed and how calm they've been. You know, whenever I watch Ryan Peters' interviews after the game, he just seems so relaxed, so calm. And that's obviously the way that they've gone about it. You know, they've been here before. They know how to win games at this point of the season. And they've gone and done that. Obviously, loads of experience in their side. They know the National League really well. Just on Jeff's point as to, you know, how they can perhaps push for the playoffs, then potentially, you know, they need to, Devin Shirrett and Ryan Peters need to perhaps look at their style. Because obviously it's, you know, it's able to get points. But, you know, I think I made this point to you, Rob, before. Being able to grind out points isn't just enough to get in the top seven now. You know, you need to play good football. You need to be quick. You need to be, you know, exciting. And perhaps they need to just move their style on a little bit more. But yeah, in terms of staying in the National League, they are, you know, bread and butter every year.
Maidenhead, a typical club that knows its place. And actually, is that a good mindset for a club to adopt? You know, Maidenhead fans, do they set out each season sort of knowing that we'll finish mid-table, we'll probably just finish above relegation, but that's fine because that's who we are, that's what we do. Why should it be? I think the National League is a place where opportunity comes calling for, you know, even the most unexpected of fan bases. So, you know, what will it take actually to turn a Maidenhead into a side that can believe that they can achieve more?
Absolutely. And another point to add with Maidenhead is that almost every season they have one key star player who moves on and obviously brings in important revenue for the football club. You know, nothing official here, but, you know, we had a guest on a couple of weeks ago who said he's pretty sure that a Football League club are looking at Reece Smith, and he may be the one to move on this time. Devonshire is very good at juggling that incoming funds to try and, you know, find the next potential starlet as well. But whatever the ambition at Maidenhead and whether they can turn into a playoff chasing side next year or not, we congratulate them once again on remaining firmly in the National League. We'll come on and look more closely at a game, the key game, the TV game of the weekend very shortly, where that clearly involved the team chasing the playoffs and trying to avoid relegation. But before we do that, we must focus in briefly on those two sides that have been pretty much holding second and third place for the entire first half of this year. In Barnet's case, they've been up there even longer than that. The two sides met in midweek and couldn't be separated, 1-1. And they both had excellent wins on Saturday too, Jeff. Bromley beating Solihull 3-0. Barnet beating playoff chasers Halifax 2-0 away from home at Accrington Stanley's ground. And those two sides now have secured a place in the National League promotion semi-finals with a home match.
Golden opportunity. No Wrexhams, Notts Counties or Chesterfields to worry about being in the way. They'll feel like going into those games, they are the favourites, if you like, for a promotion. They'll both believe in their case. So I've always had a feeling with Bromley, to be honest, because you look at the infrastructure there, and I've been sort of shown around a couple of times, to be honest. And, you know, whether anyone's travelled to Hayes Lane lately, but it really is like almost like a League One club, you know, posing as, if you like. It's literally ready. It's so well run from top to bottom. Can't wait to get that AstroTurf pitch up and lay that grass surface, obviously on account of being promoted. And for a lot of people, they almost can't imagine a Bromley in League Two. But I have, it's not a fascination, but I enjoy it, or enjoy the idea of when a club goes into the Football League for the first time. That always really excites me. It's not to say that I'm favouring them over anybody, but I just am really keen to see how that story unfolds for them.
Absolutely, yeah. Notable as well that they beat Solihull Moors 3-0 on Saturday. Solihull Moors had won 3-0 in the week, and they're nicely set for a home playoff eliminator tie themselves. But they could, of course, be meeting Bromley in those playoffs. We'll have to wait and see. Altrincham kept nice and steady on track as well with a 2-0 away win at Ebbsfleet. Alex Newby and Regan Linney both into double figures for the season now. And interestingly, that win away at Ebbsfleet, Jeff, we'll focus on the other game, the TV game, in just a minute. But they've just slipped a little bit of late, and they are one of four or five clubs who are going to go into the final game week of the season still not mathematically safe from relegation.
No, I'm surprised at that. And again, they're victim, if you like. I thought they'd done enough, but victim of the fact that so many clubs have pulled out a few results just when they've needed them, and it's pulled them right back in it. Ebbsfleet actually play a key role now at the top and the bottom, not only in sort of keeping themselves safe, but obviously they face Halifax as well, so they're going to have a part to play in the fortunes of your team, Aldershot. So yeah, I watched keenly as Danny Searle took over at Ebbsfleet and did an absolutely incredible job of rejuvenating that group of players, and they went on one an incredible run. I like to think that he's probably he's got in. I don't think it's about the manager having enough. It's not necessarily about managers at this point. It's about, you know, the group, the players turning up, giving their all, and there's an element of luck needed as well. But no, I don't feel like Ebbsfleet are going to go down. But obviously, it's difficult to say that. I also don't feel like Boreham Wood are going to go down. But there's a few twists or turns. It's a really exciting relegation story this year.
All right, let's not hold back anymore. The TNT Sports cameras were at the EBB Stadium, home of Aldershot Town, on Saturday. I got along to the EBB a little earlier than usual, and I'm really glad I did, because as well as bumping into you, Jeff, I bumped into a few other characters along the way. So, penultimate NL full-time of the season, and I'm here at the EBB Stadium, which is nothing too shocking, but it's like a who's ever been on our podcast here, so I've been a bit giddy in the TNT green room, van, whatever you would call it, vroom with a view, I think it's called. So we've had a chat with Aaron McLean and Matt Smith, and also Jeff Brazier and Grant Holt, who I've never met before. But most importantly, listeners, we've got Adam and Adam, who've been commentating Adam Summerton and Adam Virgo on the National League for how long, chaps?
This is my 10th season now. So, yeah, it's been good. I've really enjoyed it. But you've been 6 or 7?
I'm trying to think. Was it about 2015?
Yeah, 20. Yeah,
it was around about 2015, yeah, that I first started.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've both done a fair stint, haven't we? Yeah.
And I know, fair play to you both. You've had quite a lot of other gigs. It's been a wonderful platform, hasn't it, for you guys to spring on from. I know this is obviously the end of a triage of visits this week for you personally, Adam. You've been building up as the week went on, haven't you? Burnabout, Anfield, and now the EBB.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm really hoping. I mean, I love it all the different levels. It's all good fun. It's all football at the end of the day, isn't it? So, and it's you always have to remember for the clubs involved how big it is for them too, whatever the level of, that you're covering. And this game for us today is massive, isn't it, for the futures of both of these clubs? You know, whether it be Aldershot looking to get into the league next season, or Boreham Wood looking to stay in it. And you know, you forget, it's easy to forget Boreham Wood were what, a minute away from a promotion final last season. So you know that it's massive for both of these clubs today, this game.
And thinking of the Luke Garrard story in particular, he's been in this league almost as long as anybody, hasn't he? And he's overachieved season in, season out. So whilst it all looks a bit flat and difficult this year, this probably where Boreham Wood are now, they probably should have been in that position given their sort of, you know, I guess their budget, their size as a football club. They should have been in that fight most years.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a really good job. He's been here a long time, and you don't really see that too often now with managers in the game that stay for the amount of time that Luke's done. He's had some really high highs, and he's had a difficult season after getting to playoff finals and getting in those playoffs. He's produced Bruno Andrade, he's brought Shamanga in and sold them on. You know, he's been a really good manager of finding those young players. I'm sure there'd have been times he maybe looked back on that he maybe could have left at certain times where his stock was really, really high. But whatever happens to Boreham Wood this season, if you look at his catalogue of work that he's done since the start of becoming a manager at Boreham Wood, he'll need a rest from the game. I think this season he's looked tired. I think it's a massive strain being a manager, you know, week in, week out, day in, day out, dealing with players, agents, the whole shebang, really. So I think he'll need a break away. You know, I know he's got a family and stuff, so I'm sure he'll want to spend some time with them. And when he's ready to come back in, he won't be short of any shortages of clubs looking at him.
And Adam, Summerton, just turning to you again. This is a fantastic league every year. So contrasting in it between the big clubs, obviously Wrexham, you know, oldest international stadium, and another week you're at a Braintree or a Boreham Wood, etc. So it's crazy. But has this been the craziest of all the crazy leagues in this season? Perhaps that title race last season aside. The bottom half involved in the relegation battle with weeks to go.
Yeah, it's been exciting in a totally different way this season, hasn't it, to what we had last season, where we had the best title race that I think I've covered at this level. Probably by a way, actually. It was unbelievable. And we've had two seasons in a row where the playoffs have just delivered the most amazing entertainment. Of course, we've still got those to come, and they could be brilliant as well this season. But yeah, I mean, obviously Chesterfield have run away with it, but in terms of the race to get in the top seven and the battle to stay up, that's been about as competitive, I think, as I can remember. And you look at some of the football that's been played by some of those teams. I mean, Aldershot have been great to watch this season. They might not even get in the playoffs yet. You've got Gateshead who've played some beautiful football this season as well. So it's every season's it's very like its own little microcosm, yeah. Isn't it? They're all different, but yeah. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed last season for completely different reasons, yeah. But this season has been fun as well, and I think the playoffs this season could be really good again, really, really good. Great stories in there.
Absolutely. Final question to you, Adam, Virgo. I know that you're busy at the moment picking your decade team, National League, Conference team of the decade, and good luck to you with that.
Why
one
do you do this,
yeah,
season,
exactly, 34 man squad coming up, but I'm not going to ask you to name that. You can keep your powder dry on that one, of course, for the non-league paper, I'm sure. But what about the player of the 10 years? You know, I mean, that's a tough one, isn't it? Cheek's got to be in the argument, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you look at that longevity, Michael, I think Paul McCallum will be in there as well. Even like someone like Josh Rees has been decent at this level.
Callum Reynolds.
At
4, 5, 6 playoffs.
He's been there a while. But I think Michael would certainly be there. I think he's been top scorer of 6 different clubs. He's been top scorer season after season. And again, he's done it again this year. I would like a promotion for him because I think he'll deserve an opportunity to go into the Football League. But yeah, I think I've shot myself in the foot with this one. I thought it would be an easier task than I would do. And I gave myself, they've got to be playing two full seasons to try and help the numbers go down a little bit, but that only took out Macaulay Langstaff and Andre Gray. So apart from that, I'm still in the same
He's
boat.
He's killed himself just picking 2 centre-forwards. I mean, it's nearly impossible.
Listen, I'll enjoy the challenge. I think whatever I pick will be wrong. I think it'd be great for other people to try it as well and see what they come up with, because I guarantee it'll be totally different. But I think the players that I end up picking, I think will just show the quality of the league over the last 10 years, that the players that do get into it will show that they've been excellent for the league, and some of them have gone on to the Football League.
I can't speak for Adam, but I know one of the things I've always loved about covering this league is seeing the success stories. Because you get so many different scenarios with players who end up at this level. You know, you get some who maybe are journeyman players, some who maybe use it at the end of their career just to get maybe one or two more seasons. You get lads coming from Premier League clubs looking to work their way back up. You have hard luck stories in terms of injuries. So it's great seeing those lads come into this level, particularly the young ones, and then go. I mean, someone like he very rarely gets talked about, but someone like Ethan Pinnock, you know, he's had a fantastic career. Played in the Premier League for many, many years now, and I remember that brilliant when Lincoln City won the league up against Forest Green. I particularly remember the Forest Green Lincoln City game actually that season. Mm. So there's so many over the years, so many stories, isn't there, of players who've gone on to have really good careers.
Yeah, I think everyone talks about the next Jamie Vardy. We've had loads of those come through now, but I think just unfortunately they don't maybe get the story that Jamie's had behind it. But you know, Kiefer Moore, another one, I've seen him play in the World Cup. You know, it's just it's an amazing, amazing story, and good managers as well, just as well as players, and you know, teams that have gone on and done well, which is another one. Luton, when I first started, were National League, now playing today against Manchester City in the Premier League. So it can happen, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and again, I look forward to the end of the season. It's the best time the sun's out, which is the main thing, and the playoffs always bring up stories, which is always really exciting.
That was Adam Summerton and Adam Virgo. The two Adams, Jeff, what can we say about them that hasn't been said before? Great to hear them reminiscing, particularly over, you know, some of the best players over the last 10 years, certainly in which Adam Virgo's been covering. But what a platform the National League has been, not just for yourself, but one or two of those other characters that we spoke to, because what, you know, an incredible week, of course, for Adam Summerton, as we touched on in that interview, going to the Bernabeu and to Anfield and to the EBB. I mean, weeks don't get much better than that.
No, it's credit to the National League and how much we all love it. We're all deeply passionate about each season. We look forward to it immensely. And I think that shows in what Adam Summerton said, in that, you know, regardless of going to the Bernabeu and seeing a wonderful game of football at the very, very top table, you're still looking forward to getting to the EBB to see Aldershot take on Boreham Wood. Look, if you love football, I think you love all football. And the National League is unique and exciting for its own reasons. It has its own character, its own brand. And that's why we all really enjoy working on it, regardless of what other games we get to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, I'm going to get the elephant in the room, out of the room. Aldershot, who've struggled of late and hadn't won for five games, really didn't get going in that game at all. All the credit goes to Luke Garrard's Boreham Wood. And what a remarkable turnaround, Jeff, from just 2 weeks ago with Boreham Wood entrenched in the relegation positions. And let's not forget that they still are at this point. But a 4-0 win against Wealdstone, a really, really comfortable start to finish 3-0 win at Aldershot. That last twist, that last throw of the dice from Luke Garrard to say, look, shackles off, pressure's off, I'm going at the end of the season, come what may. It's looking like a really good, well-timed move right now, isn't it?
Well, the rumour is that actually the players knew for some time. So actually, the real response to Luke saying that this would be his final season in the dugout for Boreham Wood might have been the season that they've had. Whereas the way we're thick, the public announcement came, then obviously we've seen this upturn in form. But just having spoken to Luke Garrard and sort of listening to him over the course of the day, maybe the public announcement was needed because it took the pressure off of the players. It also gave them a reason, if you like, to change the course of their season and to maybe play at the level, certainly of game management. That's what they excelled in at the weekend. Their experience was there to see, and that's what we knew and grew to enjoy about them the season before. That's what brought them the success. For some reason, it just wasn't there. But I suspect because they knew there was going to be a big change at the end of the season. Players worry about their future. They worry about their next contract. They might have felt like, you know, Luke Garrard loves them and always kept them around him. But actually, who's going to come in next? And will they share his views on each player? you know, just as I say, the public announcement, it takes a bit of pressure off, basically. It puts all the attention on the manager. And for us as the press, we kind of look at him and see it as an emotional reason for the players to really try a little bit harder. But maybe, you know, come the end of it, I think that Luke, when asked about, you know, how much it would mean to him to actually keep the club as a National League club, he got emotional both before and after the game when fielding those questions. It means more than a little bit. It's not just a job, as he said. It's not just football, actually. This is something that he deeply, deeply cares about. And I wouldn't be surprised if that emotion, that incentive and motivation is enough to get them a couple more results.
Yeah, fantastic. Really well made points there, Jeff. I told Luke personally how much respect I've got for the job that he's done with Boreham Wood over the years. But I wanted to say it on this podcast too. And I know, Joe, you would echo that. There is quite a bit of work to do still, though, Joe, isn't there? They're 2 points off it with two games left in this final game week.
Yeah, they've still got some work to do. But as they've shown, you know, in the last couple of games, when they need a result from, given how well they do manage games and, you know, can get results, then they should have enough to do that. They have got some tricky fixtures in that race. Obviously, they've got Rochdale away from home in midweek, which will be a really tough one. And actually, I didn't realise that they were playing each other until I've just looked that the actual final game of the season is Bournemouth against Ebbsfleet. So,
yeah,
massive game there. And it could be a winner takes all.
Yeah, I did, in that chat before the game at the EBB on Saturday, I did meet for the first time the producer of the TNT Sports Show. And he did say to me at the time, they're keeping their powder dry. They still hadn't selected, Jeff, where the TNT Sports team are going to be on the final day. That's got to be one game, depending on the situation midweek before it. But Boreham Wood play in Ebbsfleet has got to be one of the games that they're considering, right?
It seems most likely. Where the chat in the Winnebago, you know, our little green room before the game was really led by people just saying the game that was closest geographically to where they live, which is not really the point of it, nor is it actually what sways the decision, to be honest. But there are a few games midweek that are going to shape that. And obviously we're waiting for Halifax and Gateshead to complete that tricky challenge of playing three games in 5 days and see how they fare maybe in the first couple.
Yeah, absolutely. There is still mileage left in the battles at the bottom and the top of the National League. Despite, you know, several teams, Gateshead, two defeats on the bounce, Halifax, a draw and a defeat, two defeats for Aldershot. All that served to do is open up some incredible other mathematical possibility, an unthinkable one. But Southend United, what a story. Every week we look at the table, we all add back on the 10 points. Where would they be if they'd not been deducted? But hang on a minute. They now sit eighth, just 1 point behind FC Halifax Town, thanks to a really creditable 2-0 win away at AFC Fylde. Danny Waldron and Harry Cardwell on target. And Joe, I could always come to you, but I'm going to come to Jeff. It's his part of the country as well. We've waxed lyrical about Southend and what an incredible job Kev Maher has done. But this run now, are they up to about 14, 15 games unbeaten?
Well, I know that in the last 10, they've drawn 5 and won 5. That's as much as I can see right now. But you've... I thought that when their takeover was finalised, that their motivation might be slightly dilute and taken maybe away a touch or two. You know, they've had this sort of siege mentality, which, you know, the issues had sort of given them. And I think their results did slightly dip for a time. You have to forgive me for not knowing exactly how they fared sort of beyond that. But to get back to winning ways and to be so resolute, difficult to beat, and I understand there's still some work to do off the pitch. So the suffering isn't entirely over for the Southend fans. But I mean, yeah, if they didn't have the 10 points deducted, we know they'd sort of be a shoo-in in the playoff positions, very comfortable. They'll look forward to next season, and I think nobody will begrudge them any success that they do enjoy in the future.
Just while we're, I know we're dipping up and down, but while we're looking at the top end, Oldham Athletic's fading hopes faded further on Saturday when they could only draw 0-0 away to already relegated Oxford City. They do have two games left, Oldham, and they can't mathematically be ruled out, but it looks unlikely they will finish in the top seven now. Hartlepool and Dagenham Redbridge met. They're both neither going up nor down, and they drew 1-1. But worthy of a mention is Ben Strevens, who's got Dagenham on a pretty decent unbeaten run as well, and was announced the Manager of the Month this week, Jeff. Testimony to what a good job he's done. And it gets rid of that old cliche where people say sides in mid-table haven't got anything to play for. Ben Strevens has proved otherwise there, hasn't he?
I think it's just consolidated their position as a club who are capable. Their fans might see it differently in that they might have seen playoffs as the minimum expectation. They usually do. That's usually what their fans sort of say, and why shouldn't they? But they've shown enough, you know, to suggest that next year they'll be a force to be reckoned with. They've certainly, you know, with any Effiong, when you've got a goal scorer that prolific and that capable, you're always going to be in the conversation. So, yeah, again, another side looking forward to next year.
And just one other match to cover, and it was quite a critical one as well. York City have eased closer to safety thanks to a 2-0 win at home to Woking, who, a little bit like Ebbsfleet, will go into the final game week not at all assured of their National League status. And that, a bit like Phil Brown's Kidderminster, is on the back of a decent run. But fair play to Adam Hinchelwood, Jeff and Joe, if you want to come in on this one as well. He, after a bit of a sticky start, and that drubbing away at Altrincham, has started to find the balance of getting a few clean sheets and scoring goals. Chadwick and Akinyemi on target in that one. And they're almost there now, York City.
Yeah. You know, really, really good from Adam Hinchelwood. You know, there were the concerns when he came in, but he's been able to bring in a defensive solidity that we've not really associated with Adam Hinchelwood before during his time at Worthing. And I am really pleased for George Sykes Kenworthy. You know, he's had a tough season, I think it's fair to say, at York, but he got himself a clean sheet yesterday, and he has taken a lot of criticism from the York fans, but he must be a good goalkeeper, you know, because he's been signed by a very good goalkeeper in Dave Stockdale and called up to England C by a very good goalkeeper coach in Mick Payne. So I'm pleased that he's now showing his qualities, and yeah, it looks like they're, you know, edging ever closer, but as you said, still work to only 3 points above the drop, having played a game more than Ebbsfleet and Bournemouth. But yeah, massive game for Woking next.
But just to come in on it, obviously York's next opponent's been Solihull, who can't make second or third. So you'd imagine that they'll do that thing where they might rest a couple in preparation for that first playoff eliminator. Will they face a slightly weaker Solihull, and as a result, might that be what keeps them up? Difficult game any other time in the season. But their goal difference is what will worry their fans slightly, in that it's only one better off than Boreham Woods.
Great point, Jeff. Final thought from me, looking ahead to those playoffs. Obviously, congratulations to Solihull and Altrincham on securing their playoff positions, or their playoff places now. They sit currently fourth and fifth. They're likely to be the two sides. In fact, they probably will be, barring a terrific end to the season this week from Gateshead. They'll be in the home matches. We wait to see who joins them. But can any of those teams, Jeff, that are still in the chase for playoffs, so Altrincham, Solihull, Gateshead, Halifax, Southend or Aldershot, and possibly mathematically Oldham, can any of those go to Barnet or Bromley in those semi-finals once they get there and actually win at those grounds?
Well, the only reason I'd make a case against Gateshead or Halifax is Halifax have this issue with, well, I say with their home pitch, actually, it's not even going to be relevant, is it? Because they'll be away from home anyway. It's the reason they've played at Accrington in their last game, and I believe their next game is going to be there as well. And Gateshead, I'm looking at Gateshead thinking, are they absolutely knackered because of their trophy run that obviously has meant that they've lost the opportunity to maybe have a few National League games taken care of under their belt. I guess when it comes down to it, the players will summon the energy required to just give it one last push. But it maybe does give slightly more of an advantage to the other side, certainly the ones, Barnet and Bromley, that don't have to play the eliminators.
Yeah, really good point there. Well, it's been a crazy season, listeners. I'm sure we've got a crazy week ahead as well. The answers to some of those questions, including the one Jeff just asked, will be answered this week as Gateshead go from Saturday to Monday to Wednesday to Saturday, and Halifax try and do something similar as well. We'll be back again next weekend. But Jeff, thank you so much for taking time out to join us, and we look forward to seeing how those playoffs pan out over the next few weeks.
Yeah, can't wait to see it all pan out. Good luck to all the fans of the clubs that are involved, and let's hope for a really entertaining playoffs.
We're going to start with the National League South this time, mainly because we've had confirmation, haven't we, Joe, since last weekend's podcast of our third National League title winner this season. So obviously Chesterfield were first across the line in the top division, and Tamworth got it done in time for our pod last weekend. As for Yeovil, well, it finally happened on Thursday for them, didn't it? In terms of confirmation of the title. And they had a little bit of a celebration at Huish Park in their home game on Saturday.
Yeah, it was. And I think we all expected Yeovil to get it done in the end. Obviously, they've had a little wobble of sorts by their own really high standards, but they were always going to get it done, and that they did. Got the win on Thursday night against Truro, who'd obviously already played two games earlier in the week on Monday and on Wednesday. Truro, so they managed to get that done. Obviously, had their celebrations on the pitch at Gloucester on Thursday night, but they came home on Saturday against Dartford, who themselves were looking to try and stay in the division with a result yesterday. And it was actually Dartford that took the lead. The experienced Luke Coulson, he popped up with a header after 5 minutes. But Yeovil Town were eager to make up for their 3-1 defeat last time at home against Worthing and got a 3-1 win of their own. Goals from Sam Pearson, Dylan Morgan and Alex Fisher, obviously been sort of out in the cold so far this year. And had a spell on loan at Oxford City, but he's come in and that's now 5 goals in as many games for Yeovil recently. So he's had some really big goals. And yeah, they managed to get it done. Great scenes for Yeovil. Obviously, they managed to, I believe they had a celebration in a new restaurant that's been opened in Yeovil recently after the game before heading on to our favourite Wetherspoons. And yeah, brilliant season for them, and just so happy, obviously, a friend of the podcast in Sheridan Robbins, obviously all that she had to go through last year, supporting the club, and great to see them now back on their feet and heading in the right direction.
So, yeah, congratulations to the Glovers. And interestingly, the battle for second and third place, the one that gives you home advantage in a semi-final to go through to the playoff final, is a 4-horse race now. Everybody's got one game left, and I guess it's unlikely now, Joe, that Maidstone can do it, especially after yesterday's results. But Braintree on 81, Worthing on 81, and Chelmsford on 83. Chelmsford's result from the outside looking in looked comfortable yesterday, but it wasn't, was it? They got the job done 3-0, but that relied on a couple of late goals.
Yeah, Tonbridge are always a difficult side to play against, well-drilled under Jay Saunders. And Yeah, it did require a couple of late goals. A goal from Charlie Ruff, who, you know, keeps scoring this year. And a second for Jermaine Francis. He's been a fabulous addition for them from hashtag United in the summer. He got his second of the game to make it 3-0. And yeah, you know, Chelmsford have been a very good side away from home. And if they are going to have some home times in the playoffs, which it looks like they will, then the fact that they've managed to find their home form again at just the right time will be a welcome sign for Robbie Simpson.
Yeah, Worthing got the job done quite comfortably in the end away at St Albans. 6 goals in that one, but 4 of them to Worthing. And it took Ollie Pearce all of a minute to score another goal as he closes down hard on 40 goals now.
Yeah, brilliant season for him. Obviously, all those goals, the personal recognition of getting the England C call up and is helping them on their way to success this year. Obviously, still lots left to decide, but they look like they've hit in a really good patch of form just at the right time. I see another goal for yesterday for Bradley Dolahan, young forward that's come through their academy. He's been given a chance this year and he's been brilliant. And yeah, they seem to be playing well at the moment.
And Braintree, of course, also go into that final game with a possibility of finishing second or third, thanks to a 2-1 win away at Havant and Waterlooville, thanks to the Shack in attack, Mr. Coolhurst. A penalty initially to give them the lead, and then after Jake McCarthy's equaliser, Coolhurst got a winner 13 minutes from time. I guess we'll have a quick look at the remaining games in due course, but Chelmsford in control of it going into the final day. They'd be unlucky at this point to finish outside of the top three, but certainly Worthing and Braintree with a pretty even chance, and Maidstone, they can't get second, but they can get third, can't they? So it's going to be quite an interesting final day in the National League South, where probably of the three divisions, more clubs have actually gotten to just one game left than any of the other two divisions.
Yeah, it's going to be tight. Obviously, there's lots still left to play for. Just looking at the games left to play on the final day, then obviously the games that they've got are sort of influencing games at the bottom as well. Braintree have got Eastbourne, and Maidstone have got Hampton and Richmond, who are trying to stay in the playoffs. So it's all going to be tight, but that's what we like, you know, on the final day. We don't like dead rubbers. We like stuff on the line, and yeah, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, and Braintree have got to take on Eastbourne, who've really started to find some form, haven't they, Joe? I know we're going to switch our attentions momentarily here down to the bottom end as we cover that one. But yeah, that's a terrific run. I'm not sure. Maybe you'd know. I think it might be 3 wins on the bounce for Eastbourne Borough. It's taken them 3 points clear of the drop zone. They're not quite there yet. They do have a pretty ropey looking goal difference, but my goodness me. It didn't look good for them 2 weeks ago, and it looks an awful lot better now.
Yeah, it does. It's 3 wins in their last 4 for them, 4 unbeaten for Eastbourne. So they weren't far off. But yeah, they've been brilliant. You know, they struggled a little bit at the start, but Adam Murray, he's, you know, made a couple of changes, bought in a couple of players, bought in Mo Diarra, who's obviously really experienced. He got a goal yesterday. They bought in Bamba, who I believe came from Cray Wanderers. He scored a goal yesterday. And obviously Sam Beard, who's been around this league before. So, yeah, a really good win against a really good Chippenham side who have been doing really well of late. So, yeah, they're in pole position at the moment to stay out of the bottom 4. But obviously a really tough game on the road to come on the final day.
Yeah, absolutely. Just flipping back our attentions to the top end then. Bath City remain nicely in a playoff place. And that's much to the pain of yourself and all Torquay United fans. Joe, just take us through, I guess, not just Saturday, but what happened prior to that, where you'd sort of think normally you're battling for 1 point or 3 and hopefully don't go home with naught. But this week, Torquay United have gone home with -1.
Yeah, a week that pretty much sums up our season, to be honest. you know, failures of our own doing. We were deducted a point in the week for fielding an ineligible player, believed to be Ross Marshall, who was on a 10th booking, and then got picked to play against Weymouth, which was coincidentally the first game that Aaron Downes was in charge after the sacking of Gary Johnson. So whether they had other things on their mind, we don't know. He was ineligible and got a booking, a 1 point deduction from the National League, which it's perfectly fair, you know, it's our error. But yeah, we also lost on Saturday, 1-0 defeat away at Bath. Last time we were in this division and won it, Bath was a really tough place to go, and it proved to be that again yesterday. Local lad Elliot Freer from Exeter, he scored the only goal of the game. Lovely volley at the back post. Really good timing and lovely execution. And yeah, as they have done of late, they've defended really half to get the win. Jack Batten at the back, who bowled accounts, was superb. And yeah, now tops up a really, exciting, really important and nerve-wracking game on Tuesday night.
Yeah, Dover have been relegated already, and they will finish bottom of the National League South. But for the integrity of the competition, they still gave Hampton and Richmond a tight game on Saturday. Hampton and Richmond did get a 1-0 win in the end, thanks to a goal on the hour mark from Isaac Pitblado. And they look good for a playoff place going into the final week, because they have two more points than Averley, who may well just miss out. And they do actually have two games. They have a game to play midweek as well. Averley did all that they could. They won 2-1 away at Western Supermare, although it took an Odolusi penalty in the 80th minute to secure that victory. But as far as the National League South playoffs, other than that, they're pretty much done, Joe. Farnborough just continually seem to catch that nosebleed when they get within striking distance of the playoffs. And perhaps that was the shock result of the day in the National League South. Losing 1-0 at home to Taunton Town, who finished the game with 10 men.
Yeah, they did. Obviously managed to hold on for the win. But, you know, I wasn't surprised that Taunton were able to go there and put a performance in, because they've been able to go away from home and put performances this season. You know, they went to Worthing, won 3-0, went to Torquay and won 3-0. They were good side. They've had their challenges this year. But they are capable, and one thing that we know that they can do is they can defend properly, and they managed to get their result yesterday by virtue of a goal from Cameron Evans. Really good player, got the goal and obviously helped contribute to a clean sheet, and yeah, sets up a really big game in the week. And if they can build on that game going into that one, then they're going to stand a good chance of winning.
Slough Town love a late goal. John Goddard scored a brace on Saturday, the second of which came in the 85th minute and put Hemel Hempstead to the sword. The point would have probably just about confirmed Hemel Hempstead's status in the National League South for next season. But Slough got it done. Cooker Pyre on the score sheet as well. Iacofano, no stranger to the goal scoring charts in the National League South as well. Slough on track for a top 10 finish, a remarkable turnaround under Scott Davies there, from being in the relegation zone at one point earlier on this season. Just one or two other games to cover on Saturday. Joe, Truro played Maidstone. We may have made brief mention to Maidstone losing a game. Welling drew 0-0 with Weymouth. And yeah, just tell us more on that Truro Maidstone game, because what it does do, it absolutely confirms the status for Truro City in the National League South next season. And at the end of the day, their decision to move and play their home games at Chelmsford at Gloucester overall has worked out.
Yeah, it has. And obviously, it's been a really tough week for them. But on Monday against Torquay, really leggy, as they would do, given the amount of games that they've had to play. Struggled on Thursday night against Yeovil. But yeah, they managed to get a really good win on the weekend. Tyler Harvey back in the team. He got two goals, one from the spot late on to make sure of the win, and the third through Danny Sullivan. Rafa Brown scored for Maidstone with a consolation in the last couple of minutes. And yeah, I mean, they do have games in hand. Obviously, they've got a couple of games. They've got Dover on Tuesday night, and then they've got Wake on Thursday. That's before they even get into the final day games. But yeah, I think that given the cushion that they've got now between themselves in the drop zone and the games in hand, they're going to be confident that they'll be in the league south once more.
Turning our attentions to the National League North, very, very rare absentee this week in Dickie Wharton, who, despite his own side, AFC Telford, dropping out of the National League North this year, has given sterling service, still covering the National League North. I'm missing out on Dickie, is of no concern to us because it just allows Joe to step up and talk about a division that he watches very, very carefully anyway. We did have a note or two from Dickie, who says the main thing that he wanted to point out in the North is Banbury's relegation confirmed on Thursday. And there's quite a tight race for seventh place. He believes that the positions 2 to 6 are pretty much sorted now. There could be some shuffling of places. So let's focus on that then. Obviously, last weekend, we saw the title race wrapped up, didn't we, Joe, with Tamworth and Scunthorpe. Just briefly, how did they fare on this Saturday?
Both teams managed to win at home, one more convincingly than the other. Tamworth managed to win 3-2 at home against South Shields. They did an uncharacteristic performance in that they conceded twice, having got themselves into the lead. Chris Ray and Nathan Shakuna had given them a 2-0 advantage, and Tamworth this season has shown to be a really stout defensive outfit. But they conceded twice, goals from Nathan Heaney and Woods to make it 2-2. But Tamworth did manage to get the win, Nathaniel Knight-Percival with the goal. And then Scunthorpe, a double for Danny Wood, goals from Maxine Coogan, Alfie Beeston, and a goal from on loan Peterborough youngster Kai Corbett. Just a word on South Shield. There's two sort of things really, in that we hope the fans are all well. I hear that there was a nasty car accident from a South Shields supporter bus on the way back from their game yesterday. So we wish everybody involved all the best in that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I echo those words. So Scunthorpe then, barring some ridiculous goal swing on the final day and defeat, of course, will finish second. And then the battle for the other home semi-final place in the National League North is going to be between Brackley and Chorley. Both played at home on Saturday, Joe. Both won. And that means that Brackley are in control of things going into the final week. And it could be argued, of course, that they had the stiffer task on Saturday, because Chorley beat relegated Banbury by 3-0. Three different scorers in that one, and the job was pretty much done by half-time. But Brackley had a sterner test, didn't they, in Chester. And Chester gave them a big scare early on through Ben Tollett.
Yeah, well, a bit like Tamworth, really. It was a bit of an uncharacteristic performance from Chester. You know, they've been a really good defensive team this year, not conceding many goals. Their problems more so been about scoring goals. But they did take the lead through Ben Tollett, the opener, after 8 minutes, before Brackley managed to take control of the contest, really. Two goals from on loan forward Connor Hall from Solihull Moors. He got two. And then another goal for Danny Newton. He's been brilliant this season, obviously formerly of Boreham Wood. And yeah, they managed to get the game won. And Chester, Callum McIntyre said afterwards that their season has not been defined by defeat to Brackley, and that they've not been good enough over the season. So, yeah, a disappointing afternoon, and as their season ultimately comes to a close for Chester, but for Brackley, once again, they're in the playoffs. I mean, every time the playoffs of this season, we always see Brackley in there, another season in there. So, yeah, brilliant record and lots of work still to do.
Congratulations once again to Brackley Town on a ridiculous number of consecutive playoff finishes in the National League North. Incredibly, the teams in fifth and sixth as well in the National League North meant that all the top six, as we look at it today, played at home, and they all won as well, didn't they? Curzon Ashton beat Gloucester City by 4-1. A couple for player manager Marne in that one. And in the other game there, Alfreton Town had a tighter game, didn't they, against Spennymoor Town. Fuster and Day put them 2-0 up at half-time. The evergreen Glenn Taylor did score 15 minutes from time, but it wasn't enough for Spennymoor, who find themselves frustratingly eighth position, just goal difference outside the playoffs, just behind South Shields, going into the final game week. And you've got South Shields competing for that, Spennymoor competing for that. Very outsiders at Hereford, who still have a chance. Chester have some sort of weird mathematical chance. They're even more unlikely. And Boston, Joe, they're ninth on 69 points, but they have two games left. Now, they also played at home on Saturday, but were left frustrated, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. I think one thing we've kind of come to expect from Boston this year is excitement and goals. You know, if Jimmy Knowles hasn't scored, it's been Kelsey Mooney. But unfortunately, neither of those could score on Saturday, a 0-0 draw against Scarborough. And we talked in the South about how Farnborough get nosebleeds at this time of the season in the playoffs. And Scarborough seem to get the same. You know, they've been in and around it all season. And once again, they've fallen short. So, yeah, for Boston, it's in their hands and they can still get in it. And I'd probably expect them to as well. As for Scarborough, obviously, another good season. But Jonathan Greenham will have to look at that and think, you know, how can they bridge that gap and actually get into the top seven next year?
Absolutely. We mentioned Hereford a short while away. They had a useful 2-1 away win at Warrington Town, which gives them an outside chance still of making the playoffs. Hudson and Williams on the score sheet there in the first half. What else from the National League North? Darlington 3, Farsley 1. And Farsley, well, their capitulation continues, Joe.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I think they're sort of in that fight now for the relegation. And they've got the most work to do because they currently sit in the bottom four. I did actually say a couple of weeks ago on the podcast that I did think they would drop into it. And unfortunately, that's where they are. A word for Darlington, though, because Darlington looked dead and buried. And I think I said months ago on the podcast, and I think most Darlington fans agreed with me in that I thought they were gone. You know, they looked really poor under Josh Gowling. But credit to Steve Watson. He's come in. He's made a couple of additions. Two of those were on the score sheet yesterday, and Aidan Rutledge and Cedric Main. And they're now safe going into the final day of the season. So, yeah, a really good turnaround from them. Steve Watson said himself afterwards that he wants to stay there next season. So I expect it's just about the formalities of getting that contract sorted. And, yeah, really good season in the end for Darlington.
Rushall Olympic will complete their first season in the National League North next weekend, knowing that bar a huge capitulation and a massive goal difference swing, they are safe. And that's despite losing 3-0 away from home to Southport on Saturday. A brace in that one for Tyler Walton. Festus Arthur weighing in with the third one. But two other clubs that met in what would be an East Anglian derby were Kings Lynn, who were worried about relegation until recent weeks, and Peterborough Sports, who had pulled clear but got sucked back in. Delighted to say for Peterborough Sports that they confirmed their safety in the National League North for next season with a 1-0 win, late all. And if you were right in that script, Joe, who would have got the winner?
Yeah, well, I think we had our phone call yesterday, as we usually do, didn't we, after the games. And I said to you, if you were to write the script for this game, then who would you go for? And you went for Michael Gash to score a late winner, and that he did against his former club, 93rd minute winner for Peterborough Sports. And yeah, it's been a really good season for Peterborough Sports in the end, obviously. Fairly comfortable, clear of the drop zone. That's a massive win against an improving Kings Lynn. Just a point on the Southport Rushall game, 2 points really. Obviously, brilliant season that Liam McDonald has had as Rushall manager. Everybody expected them to go down. For them to lose Danny Waldron to Southend and Aidan George to Halifax and still stay up is credit to the work that he's doing. And also for Southport, just obviously our wishes go out to one of their coaching staff who had a medical emergency in the first half as their game had to be stopped. So we wish him all the best as well.
Absolutely. One other game saw Buxton beat Bishop Stortford 2-0. De Girolamo was on target in that one, along with Jake Wright. Bishop Stortford complete the season with just 20 points. I can't recall a team getting as few as that for many a year. And so as we go into the final week in the National League North, the key battle still to be decided is the battle for that seventh place in the final promotion spot. And also pretty much a shootout next weekend between Blyth Spartans and Farsley Celtic. At the moment, Blyth are just outside of the relegation zone on goal difference. So if the sides get the same result next weekend, then we know who will go down. Blyth have a really tricky looking game at home to playoff certainties. Brackley and Farsley Celtic, their fixture may be a little bit more favourable, Joe. Up against Buxton, 62 points, comfy in mid-table. Well, both sides have got a home game. That's all they could ask for.
Yeah, and you would hope, given the situation that both of them are in, that they can go and win on home soil when it needs it. I suppose for Brackley, they're still trying to get into the top two. They are top three. They are in it at the moment, but they could potentially drop out of the top three. So whereas Blyth might have gone into that game feeling that that Brackley could have been on the beach, home and hosed in the top three, they've now got something to play for. So, yeah, if you were a betting man, you would certainly go for Farsley to get themselves out of it at the expense of Blyth on the final day.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the other battle, of course, on the final day. Surely, looking to overhaul Brackley for that third place, they'll go away to Peterborough Sports, who we've just said confirmed their safety. That's it pretty much for this week. Enjoy your final midweek and your final Saturday games, listeners. We'll be back to review everything as the league, in terms of the normal season, completes, hopefully, next weekend. In one or two cases, that may not be quite as certain. But it's been a wonderful weekend of near misses, big hits, horrible letdowns, all sorts of excitement. And, of course, every week in football, there's winners and losers. Hopefully, you haven't found Joe and myself too miserable this weekend after our own clubs failed to pick up any points. In fact, their grand total between them was minus one. Thanks, Joe, to Torquay for that. But yeah, thanks also to our earlier guest, Jeff Brazier, of course. Always good to have Jeff's insight on the podcast. And to the two Adams, Somerton and Virgo, for joining us for that wonderful chat prior to the game at the EBB. I think that's about it, Joe. Goodbye from me. Goodbye from you.
Yeah, goodbye to our listeners, and good luck for the final day, whether you've got something to play for or not.
Exactly that. And do you want, for the first time, to have your debut saying the immortal words?
Luke, play the theme tune.